Hey, everybody. Today on Charlie Kirk Show, Jim Jordan gives us a whistleblower update straight from Capitol Hill. And then we have Russ Vogt to talk about what is Schedule F, how are we going to restrain the Internal Revenue Service, and so much more. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, charliekirk.com/support. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the home of the American Education Revival Movement. So check it out, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is a fighter who I have said for quite some time, we need a Jordan Hawley committee, the same way that we had a Church and Pike committee in the 70s and 80s, where we put the pressure on the FBI. What do you think about that, Congressman Jordan?
Yeah, I think you're right. We got to have pressure put on these folks who are just doing things that we never thought we'd see. I think, and thank you for what you do. And you bring the pressure every day on exposing, just what's going on in our government, which is frightening to every man. Think about this, Charlie. In the last 6 weeks, Joe Biden, the Democrats have raided the home of a former president, taken the phone of a sitting member of Congress, called half the country fascist and extremist, then the same half the country, Hey, we're going to make you pay the student loan debt of the quote, good Americans who vote Democrat. And if you don't like all that, don't ever forget, I signed legislation that's going to unleash 87,000 IRS agents on you, the American taxpayer. That's what we're up against. So yeah, we need to figure out ways to get the truth out for the American people and put conservatives and Republicans in office.
Amen. It is mission critical. So Congressman, you've really been leading the charge on the whistleblower front. And there's a new one that shows that a new whistleblower reveals that the FBI is moving agents off of child sexual abuse investigations to instead pursue political investigations. This is unbelievable. Tell us about this.
Well, they're so focused on cooking the books and satisfying this narrative that the left has out there that there's an extremist behind every door that we first heard from whistleblowers.
I think we lost the congressman there for a second, so we're going to get him back. And so we'll get him back in a sec. You guys can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Someone just emailed me here. Charlie, love the idea of the Jordan Committee. I'll tell you what. This is one of the reasons why we have to take back the House. We have to take back the Senate. So our superstars are able to be in political power. So right now, for example, we got this letter. Congressman Jordan got this letter out. Whistleblower comes to him. And because of Pelosi, there's no subpoenas. There's no hearings. So all of these revelations, all of these whistleblowers, the moment we're able to take back the House and the Senate, which is just weeks away, everybody, the moment that happens, we'll be able to have a special committee, hearings immediately. And so right now, when we're in the minority, and all of you know this, just worthy of repeating and also to encourage what needs to become a red wave coming into November. If we are in the political minority, if we are not in power, then all these whistleblowers, nothing comes out of it. But I'm telling you, I think there is something so deep and so sinister and so unchecked happening in the federal bureaucracy, the administrative state. And it's going to take some courage, but the courage is only made possible because you could be in the minority with all the courage in the world, and what good does that do? But when you're in the political majority, when you're able to have actual political power, it absolutely changes it. And we got Congressman Jordan right here. Congressman, it seems we got zapped there for a second. You were talking about the whistleblowers.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah, and so the first whistleblower, one of the first ones we got, we talked about the pressure they're under to label all cases as domestic violent extremism cases when they're not. And that pressure, interestingly enough, came from this guy, Timothy Tebalt, who Senator Grassley had a different whistleblower tell him was the guy who was actually behind the whole suppressing evidence about the Hunter Biden story, which I find, you know, fascinating in and of itself. And then the most recent whistleblowers have come to us and said they're not only pressuring us to juice the numbers, they're pressuring us to cook the books. And what I mean by that is they are being all the January 6th people that they're investigating, they're making it appear that those are coming from all over the country, when in fact, there was about one event here. And they're so focused on this narrative that they're willing to, as you pointed out, Charlie, pull agents off of child trafficking cases to focus on this narrative that Joe Biden and the left puts out there that half the country is extremist. And it's just ridiculous. And frankly, it's frightening that they're doing this.
How many whistleblowers have come forward to you personally or your office from the FBI?
We've had over 14. They've come to our office. They come to our lawyers on our Judiciary Committee, Republican lawyers on our staff. We vet these folks. We talk to them, and we found them all to be very credible. And as I said, brave individuals who are willing to go against. Remember, the day after we first talked about this issue, the number of whistleblowers who have come forward, the very next day, Merrick Garland sends an internal memo out saying, hey, now here are the rules when you're talking with folks in Congress. It was a way to, I mean, it looked obviously like an effort to chill the speech and discourage brave whistleblowers in the FBI from coming forward and telling us what's really going on. So it's unprecedented, this number. And that's just what's come to our office. We know there have been several go to Senator Grassley's office and Senator Johnson's office. So this tells you, when they're willing to come to us, when we're in the minority, this tells you how serious this is. Because in the minority, all we can do is basically what we're doing now, begin to tell their story. We can't really subpoena the people we need to and do the kind of investigation we need to, even though we're trying. That tells you how serious this is.
So, I mean, I'm just going to send out a clarion call. If any of you watching right now are working for the FBI or the Department of Justice, you guys can get in line as a whistleblower. Maybe you got in contact with a document. Maybe you heard something. You're going to be well received. Congressman, I'm just curious. There are whistleblower protections, aren't there, if someone is afraid to speak out?
Yep, there sure are. By law, there are. And this is something Senator Grassley, over his tenure in the United States Senate, has worked very hard to make sure those protections are in place for people to come forward when they know there's wrongdoing going on in a federal agency. They can come forward and talk to Congress, because it's kind of information we need to know. After all, the way our constitutional system works, we fund these agencies. We need to know this stuff. And so, yeah, they do have whistleblower protection if they want to come forward with their story.
Yeah, if we win, there could be a huge press conference with all of these whistleblowers. And so, Congressman, if we take back the House, which I believe we will, and it's looking really, really good, can you talk about what we'll then be able to do? What's the next step? Let's say it's January 20th. You have all these, you got sworn in early January, and now we're cooking. What does that look like now with the whistleblowers? Not just the press release. What are you then able to do?
Well, we're able to then, when we talk with these guys, we're able to go to the people that they know are part of this, and we can ask for, not just ask for, we can subpoena and depose these individuals. That will be part of what we have to do. And there's really two big investigations that I think have to happen, particularly in the Judiciary Committee, which hopefully we're going to have control, and Lord willing, I'll be able to chair. But those investigations revolve around the political nature of the Justice Department, what we're talking about here, and also the border situation. And those two issues are within our committee's jurisdiction. They're two of the biggest issues our nation faces. That's where we will go. We want to talk to some agents. Who was telling you to do the things on the border? How did that come down from my orcas? And all kinds of things we have to look at on that issue. And of course, this issue where we know there was, here's a great example, Charles. We know that the politics go to the school board issue. We
yes.
know there was coordination between the White House, the DOJ, the Department of Education, and the National School Boards Association prior to the initial letter sent on September 29th from the School Board Association to the Biden White House. We know they were talking. Here's a great question for these people. Did you talk about putting in the reference to using the Patriot Act, using domestic terrorism statutes against moms and dads? The White House knew about that. So those are the kind of things that will happen on day one if, in fact, we get the majority.
Congressman Jim Jordan, we're 100% behind you, everybody. We need a red wave. You do a red wave. You give Congressman Jim Jordan the power and the platform to restore constitutional sanity to our government. We're 100% behind him. Congressman, thanks so much for joining us as always.
Thank you, Charlie. Take care.
Thank you. Look, Charlie Kirk here. I need to tell you about Reggie in Florida, who wrote in about his experience with the 100% drug-free Relief Factor. Right? Reggie is one of those people who've had a pretty quick success with Relief Factor. I hear about these all the time. It's amazing. Relief Factor, he said. He said, I had a lot of aches and pains from aging. And after 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Reggie, I'm glad you've gotten relief and hope to hear more from you as time goes by. As you all know, I take Relief Factor, your first step to becoming pain-free from aches and pains, from active daily living, could be just to order the 3-week quick start, deeply discounted, only $19.95. After trying Relief Factor, over 500,000 people have gone on to order more. Try it out for yourself and see what all these people are talking about. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Live your best life and feel the difference with Relief Factor. I remember being at our Turning Point USA summit, our Young Women's Leadership Summit, and I made a prediction that this story was going to take off. And boy, did that prediction not turn out to be true. It is a massive story that deserves repeated attention. And it is a story of cruelty. It's a story of gender radicalism. It's a story almost of quasi-attempted starvation of children. If you don't agree with a radical, baseless, non-scientific, torturous gender ideology. We talked about it on our show, and I thought it was going to go viral. And honestly, Republicans missed one on this big time over the summer. What am I talking about? Well, the USDA, back in June, remember back in June? They announced that the National School Lunch Program offered to low-income students will no longer be provided to schools who do not allow men to go into women's bathrooms. So they were literally not, they were no longer going to offer school lunch assistance if a school said actually only men are allowed in men's bathrooms, boys in boys' bathrooms, girls in girls' bathrooms. And this should have been a bombshell story. Biden regime withholds school lunch if you do not adopt their radical anti-scientific gender ideology. Let's just refresh ourselves on this story. Play cut 95.
Reporting finds the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced the National School Lunch Program for low-income students would not be available to schools who do not adopt the Biden administration's interpretation of Title IX. Under the new plan, schools that do not allow students who identify as a different gender than their biological sex to use their preferred bathrooms would not qualify for the funding, which in part is used to fund those school lunches.
This story so totally slipped through the cracks. And any influence all of you have on social media, any that you have through lawmakers, let's get this message out. The fact that the Biden regime is actively withholding school lunch money. How is this ever acceptable? And look, there's a lot of tyranny. There's a lot of cockroaches out there. There's a lot of nonsense happening. But the fact the Biden regime is starving children, not totally starving, but they're potentially saying we can't give you lunch assistance for kids. That's a form of starvation. This story is getting broader and broader around, as Tucker Carlson beautifully put it yesterday, the medical mutation of children for profit. I thought that was beautifully put. That there's an entire industry that is centered and makes tons of money off of medically mutilating children. Monetize the mental anguish of children. Boy, is that just beautifully put by Tucker. It monetizes the mental anguish of children. So it was revealed yesterday on Tucker's program, thanks to the work of Matt Walsh. Cut 106, 2018. This is a physician at Vanderbilt, new video, discussing how they perform top surgeries on children because they make Vanderbilt a lot of money. Play cut 106.
Some of our UMC financial folks in October of 2016, starting a couple years ago, put down some costs of how much money we think each patient would bring in. And this is only including top surgery. This isn't including any bottom surgery. And it's a lot of money. These surgeries make a lot of money. So female to male chest reconstruction can bring in $40,000. Patient just got routine hormone treatment, who I'm only seeing a few times a year, can bring in several thousand dollars without requiring a lot of visits and labs. It actually makes money for the hospital.
It makes money for the hospital. It brings money through the door. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream Bed Sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all now for sale for $29.98 with our listener promo code Kirk. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream Sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's limited supply, so make sure you order now. Call 800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell out quickly, so use promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. That is MyPillow.com. Susan emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, for the person who thinks that schools and colleges aren't horrible and creating crazed woke lib kids, here's my story. I have a daughter that was the most caring and loving child. She even helped work for me at the Republican National Committee when she was 9 years old. And now she's gone. It's so sad. She's a Greta Thunberg lover and so woke. I know she is gone. Anything we try to do to bring her around is met with vehement climate change anger and blame that we have ruined her planet and nothing will be left for her generation. Also, she thinks all these illegal migrants deserve to be here. She went to a BLM meeting in our very sweet little bedroom community outside of Atlanta. On transgender, don't get me started. The high school had a trans homecoming queen and she was so proud. And she cried when Roe v. Wade was overturned and announced. We absolutely dropped the ball. And I know we are to blame for this horrible creation. I see that she'll have to learn the hard way. Thank you, Susan. It's really sad. Everyone listening, please take that as a warning. Joining us right now is Russ Vogt from the wonderful Center for Renewing America. He's one of the few fighters out there. It's a great organization. Russ, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it.
All right, Russ, let's talk about the FBI. You guys are involved in many different ways of trying to stand up for the good guys. Tell us the latest.
Yeah, our belief is that we need to have a permanent standalone committee, or not permanent, but a standalone committee outside the normal committees that provides an institution that actually gets at the bottom of all of the deep state agencies, starting first and foremost with the FBI, which is weaponized against the American people. And it's not just the elements of the Russia hoax. It's, you know, them being weaponized against parents concerned about CRT at school board meetings. And so we're pushing very hard right now for Republicans to make a commitment to stand this up and have people on this committee like Jim Jordan and Dan Bishop and others who will not buckle in the face of a deep state that will be opposed to that kind of oversight. But our hope is that that leads to establishing the full case to the American people. So we have a supermajority out there that can inform the next presidential race. And then that can also help us know specifically what reforms are needed to break up the FBI as we know it.
How realistic do you think that is? We take back the House, we take back the Senate. What can we do to actually hold the FBI accountable soon?
I think it's very realistic, Charlie, because there's a historical precedent for this committee. The reason we call it a church committee is because we're building off of the precedent of Frank Church's committee that brought the CIA and the FBI for a brief moment to its knees. Now, the reforms that came out of that were not sufficient and or enduring, but it was a historical precedent that Congress often looks to. And so I think that's very important. And I think it'll be critical that we be able to leverage the appropriations process throughout this to get the oversight and the documents and the information from a stonewalling administration that we know will be coming our way. But I think we've got to take a larger step back from it to make this successful. And we've got to say to these agencies, We're going to fundamentally dismantle you unless you participate and help us get to the bottom of what we know is wrong and weaponized against the public. And if we establish the moral high ground, the leverage that that would give us, we will be able to get the information that's needed to take it to the country.
And I think that's really important, but it has to start with oversight and it has to start with real changes, structural changes. Do you think Republicans have the stomach for this? Do you think Republicans really have the wherewithal and the fortitude to go after this fourth branch of government? Because, Russ, the alignment constitutional, you know this better than anybody, but it's been totally inverted. It's not co-equal branches of government. You have a superstructure that oversees all the other four branches, which is the administrative state, the Leviathan, this albatross of bureaucracy, which literally calls the shot for Congress, executive, and judicial. We never should have had the FBI created the way it did, which was basically a blackmail operation against any politician or dissident in the country. How do you change that? Because the Constitution is currently upside down.
It is. I like to say that we're living in a post-constitutional time and where there's no separation of powers. Mm-hmm. And people who are kind of simplistically talking about Article 1 returns or Article 2 are not realizing that what the branches, the administrative state that we're talking about goes over the lines of demarcation of the branches in the Constitution. That's the level of institutional change. But to get to your question specifically, not yet. I do not believe that Republicans have the stomach for what will be required. But I think this is quickly becoming a cartel busting issue in that their voters know that the FBI is weaponized against them. They know that if they show up at a school board meeting, there is a possibility that they will have to spend $100,000s on a lawyer, and yet they're going anyway. And I think that will change the Republicans' appetite to take this on. And so we've got to make sure that the Church Committee has the support of and the presence of those who already have backs of steel. But we've got to make sure that the entirety of the Republican Party know the threat. I still come into contact people, Charlie, and you probably do as well, who don't even know the basic facts of the Russia hoax. I mean,
right.
Have you guys been paying attention? And so we're still dealing with that with members of Congress, let alone getting to what's going on with January 6th. I mean, just the level of saturation in the information world where people just won't read what is in plain sight. We're fighting that, but I will think we will get there by January.
Yeah, it's just I think some Republicans actually support it, though. I think some Republicans in some bizarre ways actually support it. Can you talk about what you're doing with the woke IRS? I know of several examples of conservatives that are being targeted, that are being totally treated unfairly. We need to go after the IRS and everything we have. Your thoughts?
I agree. I think the first thing we've got to do in January is, well, starting right now, we cannot let them pass a continuing resolution that creates a lame duck. And in a lame duck come after a Congress or after the election to come and pass a full year spending bill that takes away all of our leverage points for when the cavalry comes in January. So that fight is right now. It's ongoing. There's no way the Senate Republicans can give Joe Biden a full year spending bill. Secondly, the first thing order of business in January needs to be to defund that $80 billion that they were given for 87,000 new IRS agents and all of the audits as far as the eye can see that that will promote. So that needs to be critical. And then today we put forward two complaints to the IRS asking them to go and investigate what went on in the last election where Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan spent $400 million over to go to three institutions, nonprofit C3 institutions that are supposed to not engage in partisan intervention in the election. And yet they were privatizing the election process to Democratic Party operatives, the same people that were trying to win the election. So this is something that we believe needs to be investigated. Those entities should lose their C3 tax deductible status. Zuckerberg and Chan should lose their tax deduction for it. And this is something that if the IRS wants to get their credibility back, we will see an investigation on this in response to our complaint. If not, it will add to our evidence in the case that they need to be broken up as well. And we will, in the future, have a conservative administration that picks up these complaints anew and investigates.
Yeah, it's the Center for Technology for Civic Life, $400 million grant from the Zuckerberg family. Also, there's that Good Info Foundation, which is in total violation of their 501c3 status that came out a couple days ago, $65 million budget, paying people online to go after MAGA Republicans and Trump Republicans to have midterm impact. Can you believe this, Russ? I mean, you run a C3, I run a C3. And what planet would we ever be able to pay people for a midterm election going after Republican or MAGA? Russ, can you educate our audience on how big of a violation that is?
It's a death sentence. You lose your C3 status if you engage in partisan electioneering activity, and that is a death sentence for your C3. It's not allowed. And that's something that the left is hiding behind the fact that no one's ever called them on it.
Yep.
And we are here to say, if this is legal, then nothing is illegal in this space, because he weighed in. Forget what he did with the big tech platforms that he was in control of. Forget that for a second. He weighed in to the tune of $500 million, he and his wife, to rig the election at the very locus of where you do the voting. I mean, it's just it's insane that that no one has come before us and said this is a huge problem that needs to be investigated. People like Molly Hemingway have raised the awareness on it, but no one has said the IRS needs to take action. And I think that's the important leverage point for them to be able to get their credibility back. And I think that we will continue to say, use this as a scorecard of sorts with the IRS to see whether they are making progress or whether they are still the same old IRS that we've been dealing with since 2010.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's worse than ever. And I've heard report after report of people coming up to me, and I'm going to encourage a lot of these lawmakers, you better do something about this. It's one of the most scariest things. 87,000 new IRS agents. Just for example, I want to play this piece of tape here. This is a young lawyer, Preston Moore, he's a whistleblower who got an email from a 501c3 funded by George Soros, Reid Hoffman, and Lorene Powell Jobs, saying, I was offered $400 to make an anti-Trump video. This is funded directly from the Good Info Foundation with tax deductions. The left, they violate these all day long. All day long, they're violating 501c3 laws. Let's play cut five.
I was just offered $400 to make an anti-Donald Trump propaganda post related to the January 6th investigation. That is completely not true. I should start out this video by saying I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, so that should give a little bit of context to where I'm coming from. I'm an attorney. I post legal news and analysis on related topics. Okay, here we go with the story. So first thing first, I get an email from somebody with the Good Info Foundation. We'll talk about them a little more in a minute. I'm going to refer to this person as Jane. Jane sent me a message letting me know she represented the Good Info Foundation and that she was willing to offer a paid collaboration to discuss some topics related to January 6th. Said, sure, why not? I'll learn some more. Jane says the Good Info Foundation will give me $400 to make a post on my page and then share it to Instagram.
And then, it's a minute-long clip, cut six, he talks about what they wanted him to say. Play cut six.
These are the specific requirements in order to obtain that $400 of how I should refer to the January 6th Capitol raid. Number one, I must call this a criminal conspiracy. Number two, I must say Trump Republicans were responsible. Number three, I must frame it as an attack on my country, an attack on America or Americans, a criminal conspiracy, and a committed crime. I must attribute the matter to MAGA Republicans. I must make clear that this was ongoing and unresolved. And most importantly, that I must channel all of this unto the manipulation of voter agencies so that I could turn their anger around this event into defiance that would make people more likely to vote in midterms. And the thing that struck me the most was this part, where I was told to talk about the aspects of the Trump campaign's plan. And I was supposed to say that the Trump campaign paid literally millions of dollars to make January 6th happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing we're up against. They flagrantly violate the rules. We comply with the rules and they steal elections.
That's right.
And that at some point, to get their credibility back, they need to investigate their own side.
Yeah, I hope so. Russ, looks like Trump is going to run again. If he runs, I believe he will win. And this idea of Schedule F is in the clouds and it drives journalists bananas. What is Schedule F and why should we use it?
Schedule F is an authority that we discovered and developed at the end of the Trump administration to give the president the ability to reclassify career civil servants who normally have permanency within the bureaucracy to turn them into essentially at-will employees. And it's something that he signed an executive order to do. I classified 90% of the Office of Management and Budget as Schedule F employees. It lit off great, great protest within my agency, but it was critical because you would get a sense from them, even in mine were pretty good, they would say, well, we work for the office of the presidency. We don't work for the president who was duly elected. And there you get the sense of the cultural problems and the roots of the problem that cause you not to be able to implement your agenda. And so this needs to be a day one initiative. You know, the president's very supportive of it. He's already done it once before. If, you know, if he's given that opportunity, and I hope he is, this would be one of those first things that I can imagine that he would do.
So, Russ, I want to thank you for discovering that. But I'll be very honest. I'm sure our audience says, why didn't we have this on day one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of work that never really got done. And we, when we took office, there were those of us who were trying to figure this stuff out while we were doing the jobs that had a lot of different responsibilities. And so my hope is that we don't have to do that again, because we're laying the groundwork now to be able to have whoever goes in there on day one has the tools and the plans and the paradigms. A lot of these are thinking about things anew and not on 200 years of bad precedent and bad statesmanship. We want to make sure that the people who go in can hit the ground running from day one. And that, you know, there's a lot of reasons for why that didn't happen. The reliance on more party officials, the staffing of the agencies with people that didn't ever want to buy into America First, cultural changes, agenda setting issues. And so like that, there's a lot of reasons for why that didn't happen. We want to make sure that can never happen again. And make sure that from day one, we can ensure that the agenda is being done.
That's exactly right. That's what we need. And so can you just give our audience a little bit of a read in the couple minutes we have remaining on how ideological some of these agency employees are, and what percentage are ideological versus just they just want a paycheck and they say whatever? Can you give us an idea of the makeup of a federal agency?
Yeah, I would say that within my agency, we had, you know, 80% of it was left-leaning. Many of them were people who cared about budgets and cared about, you know, cost benefit analysis and regs, but their paradigms were all rooted in this permanent class, ruling class that defines the milieu of Washington, D.C. And you can reason and work with that crowd, but there is about a 10% of activists that are animated by the wokeism, the anti-racist movement, to be able to come into these agencies, and they're just activists.
And are they growing, Russ? Sorry to cut you off. We're low on time, but are they growing? Are they multiplying in number, the wokies?
Yes, they are. I mean, they are increasingly prevalent. And so you don't have as many of the folks that have been there for a long period of time that, you know, probably worked under Bill Clinton or George Bush. These are folks that were really radicalized by the politics of Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
And really quick, the colleges are sourcing a lot of this, right? The wokest part of America then becomes a feeding agency for all these different agencies. Is that right? Pipeline.
Yeah, real quickly, I had my HR department person say, Russ, we're just committed anti-racists.
Yeah, and where do you think they learned that? They learned that.
Ibram Kendi.
That's right, Ibram X. Kendi. And they probably learned it at Rutgers. They learned it at University of Maryland or Ohio State, wherever they went. And that's been a theme we've been hitting the last couple hours. Obviously, it's a, you know, an issue close to my heart. So that's so interesting. I want everyone to understand that. What agency was that again, Russ?
This is OMB. This is one that's the more conservative of the organizations.
Yeah, so it's one of the more conservative organizations with incredible power over the federal government, Office of Management and Budget. And there within the federal government is an HR director who says, I'm a committed anti-racist. That is a sleeper cell of a woke communist ideology who's just right there within our federal government. Sourced from the colleges. I hope everyone understands that. You're going to have to figure out how to solve that. I don't know. But ideological purity tests are an interesting approach. But let's break up the federal government first, and then we'll go from there. Move it to Kansas. Russ, thank you so much. Great work.
You bet.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.